People are talking about WinDonation. One of their customers, Vicky, said, "We couldn't be happier. It was a great experience. WinDonation's about value. And this August, they're giving you a great value during their anniversary sale. Buy two windows, get two free, no limit. And there's no limit to how much you will save because you're going to pay nothing down, no payments, and no interest for two full years. If you act now, you'll get an extra $250 credit from WinDonation. The sale ends the end of the month, so schedule a fast in-home estimate right now. There's nothing to risk. They'll come out to your home. They'll give you a quick estimate, and then you can do with it what you choose, but give them a shot. If you've been thinking about new windows, 866-90-NATION and WinDonation.com. This from Steven on Twitter, Steven D. Drums. The Daniels pick doesn't say anything about Peters or Quinn. Armchair Charlie would have picked him. It was the number two pick, and it was a pretty easy layup. But Newton and Coleman, if they play well, we got us a front office. You know, by the time we got to the draft, I think Jaden Daniels was clearly the number two overall pick behind Caleb Williams. Some people actually liked him at number one, but there was quite a debate in the offseason. Let's not, you know, diminish the Drake May contingent out there, the J.J. McCarthy contingent out there, the trade back contingent out there. It was, I think by the time we got there, it had become pretty obvious, but it wasn't necessarily that way. And if they had taken Drake May, I don't think anybody would have blinked. I would have. I wouldn't have liked it, but I think there were a lot of people out there that were big Drake May fans as well. Denton is going to talk a lot of college football, as he did last year during the show. Denton hosts a big XM Sirius college football show on College Football Saturdays. We have quite the season in store because it'll be the first year of the 12-team playoff. Four top seeds that will draw by, and then that weekend of December 20th, 20th and 21st, we'll have four games, four first-round games at sites, at the actual stadium sites where the teams exist. And there's a team that you really like this year as a surprise team in college football. Who is it?
Well, so there are multiple, but first, Kevin, first.
Pick up your book bags. Grab your notebooks. It's time to go on campus with Denton.
Give me my theme music.
Oh, we are
haven't
so
haven't heard
back.
That in a long time.
Love it brings that. The juices back. I just had to get that in there.
That's a Thursday staple on this show during football season.
So there are a couple teams that I really like this year. You know, one of them, I was kind of like joking back and forth. So one of the teams I wanted to love was Miami. And then you know what I found out? It seems like everybody loves Miami, and then all of a sudden, I didn't like them as much, which you can understand, right? When you're first to something, but then everybody seems to pile on. It's like, I don't know if I want to be here because now the public's going to jump in on this. So I'm a little off Miami, but the team that I love the most this year as a surprise team is Virginia Tech. You know, I think when you look at the ACC, you see Clemson at the top, you see Florida State at the top. I don't love either of those two teams. You know, DJ Uiagalelei, who's now the quarterback of Florida State, for anybody right. That did not know, he's on his third school now.
DJ U, to me, just is not great, period.
He's a college quarterback.
Yeah.
That's what he is. And we had those two games at Clemson, what feels like an eternity ago. It was like 4 years now when he came in for Trevor Lawrence. And then he just has never been able to really, really put it together. I mean, he was okay last year at Oregon State, and that team was really good. But I don't love him as a quarterback to win a conference. And even though the ACC is weak, I look at Clemson with Cade Klubnik, and somehow I feel even worse about him. And I look at Virginia Tech. They made a lot of good progress towards the end of the season last year. I really like Brent Pry as a head coach.
What year is this for him? Second?
This is second or third. But their quarterback, Kyren Drones, every year, Kevin, I look at guys that I think are going to kind of like burst onto the scene. And Jaden Daniels was very much that last year. Nobody really was talking about him at the beginning of the season. And then, you know, we're in October and you're like, wait a second, this guy's really, really good. I'm not suggesting Drones is going to be Jaden Daniels this year, but he had 17 touchdowns and just 3 interceptions last year. As I mentioned, they started to really pick in to a nice rhythm at the end of last year. And I look at their schedule. They got Vanderbilt, that's a dub, Marshall, Old Dominion. Sorry to my Old Dominion fans out there. That should be a W this year. I know it wasn't last year. It should be a W this year. Their toughest opponent right now, they're at Miami at the end of September, the 27th, and then they're home against Clemson. Outside of that, these are all winnable games for them. You got, like, you're on the road against Duke, but this Duke is going to be very different than last year.
Did they beat anybody last year?
At the end of the season, they got crushed by Louisville. They kept it. They beat Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh was okay, not great. They didn't have any like marquee great wins, but they started to get into a nice little rhythm at the end of last year. And this Drones who doesn't turn the ball over, right? So, and then you look at their roster. They bring back a lot of the same guys. I know the transfer portal is a part of this year's game, and every year it feels like we get somebody that bursts onto the scene out of the portal. But I'm really selling into some teams this year, buying into some teams this year.
I'd love to see Virginia Tech be back in the mix again. I mean, they've been missing in action from the college football landscape for a while now. And, you know, there was a stretch there, obviously, for all of those years where they were, you know, they were legitimately a contender. And it just hasn't been that way for a while. I would love to see that. In the ACC, I'm assuming you said you liked Miami. It's hard for me after what Mario Cristobal did in that Georgia Tech game to get past that. But is Clemson the favorite or Florida State is the favorite, you said?
Florida State is the favorite, but I'm pulling up the official odds right now. They're plus 270. Clemson's plus 390. Miami is plus 440. So they're all incredibly close. Then Virginia Tech is 10-1 as it stands. Like, I love Cam Ward, who comes over from Washington State to Miami. But Mario Cristobal, I don't have any hair on my head. But if I did have hair on my head and I was a Miami fan, I wouldn't have hair on my head.
You know, the other guy that went to Miami, and I'm pretty sure it was Miami, it could have been Florida State, but the running back from Oregon State last year, I loved Martinez. Mm-hmm. I thought he was one of the best running backs and best pro prospects. He went back. He obviously got a big NIL deal. He's at Miami, right? Or is it Florida State?
I believe he went to Miami.
Yeah. That guy to me was so impressive for Oregon State in some of their games last year. I actually thought he would be somewhere in the third, fourth round had he come out after last year. But anyway, all right. So Virginia Tech, Hokie fans, and there are a lot of them as we know in this area, and many that listen to this program because I hear from them during college football season and they're like, you're not talking enough about Virginia Tech. And the reason here in recent years is they haven't been very good. Bottom line.
By recent years, you mean the last 15.
Has it been 15 years since Beamer left? No.
It's been a little less than that, but they really haven't entered the season with real expectations and then proceeded to live up to those since I was in high school, which, as much as I hate to admit it, is now much closer to 15 years than I'm comfortable with.
The Memphis guy, Justin Fuente, I think, who replaced him, right? Mm-hmm. He was the coach at Memphis. Was that it for him in terms of opportunities to be a head coach?
Probably. I mean, they went 8-4 one year, 8-4 in 2019. That was their best year under him. I mean, maybe he goes to, well, I guess there is no Nick Saban island of misfit coaches to turn you back into, or the Nick Saban rehab facility, shall we say. So that might be it for him. Unless he goes, I mean, you can go to a G5 place again, build up a reputation, and then, you know, get a job in a couple years.
Frank Beamer's last year, 2015. And they won. They were 7-6. They were in a bowl game. But they were not ACC contenders. You have to go back to 2011 when they finished first in the Coastal in the ACC.
Jeez, that's a long time.
And made it to the Sugar Bowl. That's a long time being absent from the big picture, from the upper echelons of college football for a program like that, no doubt. All right, there's somebody else you like, though.
I like Nebraska. I really like Nebraska. They have the five-star quarterback, Dylan Raiola. He's a freshman, so I know that's a little iffy at times making that jump. But he was going to go to Nebraska, and then he changed his mind and committed to Georgia. This was before Matt Rhule had taken over, so this was years ago. He committed to Georgia. Matt Rhule takes over. He does have an uncle that's on the staff in Nebraska, the Raiola family. They won championships at Nebraska in the late 90s. They were part of those teams. They go and get him from Georgia. So he's going to go play at Georgia. They get him to come back to Nebraska, which is basically what you hire Matt Rhule to do, to keep whatever sort of local talent that you have that's good in the state. They do that. And then on top of that, like, I know if you're just an NFL fan, your perspective of Matt Rhule is vastly different than my perspective of Matt Rhule. As a college coach, he is a college coach.
So he's a college coach.
I love Nebraska this year. Their win total 7.5. I'm not thinking they're going to win the Big Ten, but that win total 7.5. They will be in some games that are going to be a little iffy, but I think this is the first year in, similar to Virginia Tech, like 15 years, where they will be on the right side of some of those iffy games. The ball is going to bounce their way, and I think they get to at least eight wins.
They turn the ball over. Some of their games last year were so painful. They were an excellent defensive team. Do they have a lot of what they were defensively coming back?
Yeah, a good amount of what they had last year is coming back. And, I mean, Jeff Sims, God bless him. He was a turnover.
The Colorado game was just horrible.
I mean, it was so bad.
They actually were the better team except for him in that game. I know that the game got out of hand score-wise, but it was tight throughout. Remember, that was such a hyped game and a massive play for me. I was on Nebraska plus the short number for everything. And it was painful to watch, but all year long, they were really good on defense. So if you're telling me that they're going to be really good on defense again, and they have the quarterback this year in Raiola, it'd be great to see Lincoln rocking again with an actual contender. Where are they being picked in the Big Ten? It's weird this year, right? Because I'm assuming Oregon and Ohio State, Michigan are at the top.
Oregon, Ohio State, the prohibited favorites. Penn State is 5-1, which, by the way, I don't hate. They just need to make Drew Aller good. Michigan is plus 750. Nebraska is they're a long shot. I mean, they're right now they're 60-1 to win the Big Ten, but everybody's a long shot after Michigan.
I'll tell you what, Penn State better win in Morgantown to open up the season, or they're going to be after James Franklin in a big way. That is a tough spot for them to open up. I can't wait for that. That's that's week number one, Labor Day weekend, and I think it's the high noon game on Fox.
Yeah, that's one of the better matchups of the week. You got that one, you got Florida-Miami, and then on Sunday you have USC and LSU.
Yeah, they don't play Michigan, I think it is, but they do play Ohio State, but it's at home in Happy Valley. But I think they play both SC and UCLA. Do they play Oregon? I'm pulling up their schedule right now.
I don't know they play Oregon. They do play both LA teams.
Yeah. You don't want to be James Franklin if you go into Morgantown and lose that opener. All right, something Dan Quinn said earlier this morning that I thought was worth playing. You'll hear it when we come back. People are talking about Win Donation. One of their customers, Vicky, said, "We couldn't be happier. It was a great experience. Win Donation's about value. And this August, they're giving you a great value during their anniversary sale. Buy two windows, get two free, no limit. And there's no limit to how much you will save because you're going to pay nothing down, no payments, and no interest for 2 full years. If you act now, you'll get an extra $250 credit from Window Nation. The sale ends the end of the month, so schedule a fast in-home estimate right now. There's nothing to risk. They'll come out to your home. They'll give you a quick estimate, and then you can do with it what you choose, but give them a shot. If you've been thinking about new windows, 866-90-NATION and windownation.com. This from Steven on Twitter, Steven D. Drums. The Daniels pick doesn't say anything about Peters or Quinn. Armchair Charlie would have picked him. It was the number two pick, and it was a pretty easy layup. But Newton and Coleman, if they play well, we got us a front office. You know, by the time we got to the draft, I think Jaden Daniels was clearly the number two overall pick behind Caleb Williams. Some people actually liked him at number one, but there was quite a debate in the offseason. Let's not, you know, diminish the Drake May contingent out there, the J.J. McCarthy contingent out there, the trade back contingent out there. It was, I think by the time we got there, it had become pretty obvious, but it wasn't necessarily that way. And if they had taken Drake May, I don't think anybody would have blinked. I would have. I wouldn't have liked it, but I think there were a lot of people out there that were big Drake May fans as well. Denton is going to talk a lot of college football, as he did last year during the show. Denton hosts a big XM Sirius college football show on College Football Saturdays. We have quite the season in store because it'll be the first year of the 12-team playoff. Four top seeds that will draw a bye, and then that weekend of December 20th, 20th and 21st, we'll have four games, four first-round games at sites, at the actual stadium sites where the teams exist. And there's a team that you really like this year as a surprise team in college football. Who is it?
Well, so there are multiple, but first, Kevin, first.
Pick up your book bags. Grab your notebooks. It's time to go on campus with Denton.
Now give me my theme music.
We are
haven't
so
heard
back.
That in a long time.
It brings
that.
The juices back. I just had to get that in there.
That's a Thursday staple on this show during football season.
So there are a couple teams that I really like this year. You know, one of them, I was kind of like joking back and forth. So one of the teams I wanted to love was Miami. And then you know what I found out? It seems like everybody loves Miami, and then all of a sudden I didn't like them as much, which you can understand, right? When you're first to something, but then everybody seems to pile on, it's like, I don't know if I want to be here because now the public's going to jump in on this. So I'm a little off Miami, but the team that I love the most this year as a surprise team is Virginia Tech. You know, I think when you look at the ACC, you see Clemson at the top, you see Florida State at the top. I don't love either of those two teams. You know, DJ Uiagalelei, who's now the quarterback of Florida State, for anybody right. that did not know, he's on his third school now.
DJ U to me just is not great, period.
He's a college quarterback.
Yeah.
That's what he is. And we had those two games at Clemson, what feels like an eternity ago. It was like 4 years now when he came in for Trevor Lawrence. And then he just has never been able to really, really put it together. I mean, he was okay last year at Oregon State, and that team was really good. But I don't love him as a quarterback to win a conference. And even though the ACC is weak, I look at Clemson with Cade Klubnik, and somehow I feel even worse about him. And I look at Virginia Tech. They made a lot of good progress towards the end of the season last year. I really like Brent Pry as a head coach.
What year is this for him? Second?
This is second or third. Uh-huh. But their quarterback, Kyren Drones, every year, Kevin, I look at guys that I think are going to kind of like burst onto the scene. And Jaden Daniels was very much that last year. Nobody really was talking about him at the beginning of the season. And then, you know, we're in October and you're like, wait a second, this guy's really, really good. I'm not suggesting Drones is going to be Jaden Daniels this year, but he had 17 touchdowns and just 3 interceptions last year. As I mentioned, they started to really pick in to a nice rhythm at the end of last year. And I look at their schedule. They got Vanderbilt, that's a dub, Marshall, Old Dominion, Sorry to my Old Dominion fans out there. That should be a W this year. I know it wasn't last year. It should be a W this year. Their toughest opponent right now, they're at Miami at the end of September, the 27th, and then they're home against Clemson. Outside of that, these are all winnable games for them. You got, like, you're on the road against Duke, but this Duke is going to be very different than last year.
Did they beat anybody last year?
At the end of the season, they got crushed by Louisville. They kept it. They beat Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh was okay, not great. They didn't have any, like, marquee great wins, but they started to get into a nice little rhythm at the end of last year. And this Drones who doesn't turn the ball over, right? So, and then you look at their roster, they bring back a lot of the same guys. I know the transfer portal is a part of this year's game, and every year it feels like we get somebody that bursts onto the scene out of the portal. But I'm really selling into some teams this year, buying into some teams this year.
I'd love to see Virginia Tech be back in the mix again. I mean, they've been missing in action from the college football landscape for a while now. And, you know, there was a stretch there, obviously, for all of those years where they were, you know, they were legitimately a contender. And it just hasn't been that way for a while. I would love to see that. In the ACC, I'm assuming you said you liked Miami. It's hard for me, after what Mario Cristobal did in that Georgia Tech game, to get past that. But is Clemson the favorite, or Florida State is the favorite, you said?
Florida State is the favorite, but I'm pulling up the official odds right now. They're plus 270. Clemson's plus 390. Miami is plus 440. So they're all incredibly close. And then Virginia Tech is 10-1 as it stands. Like, I love Cam Ward, who comes over from Washington State to Miami. But Mario Cristobal, I don't have any hair on my head. But if I did have hair on my head and I was a Miami fan, I wouldn't have hair on my head.
You know, the other guy that went to Miami, and I'm pretty sure it was Miami, it could have been Florida State, but the running back from Oregon State last year, I loved Martinez. Mm-hmm. I thought he was one of the best running backs and best pro prospects. He went back. He obviously got a big NIL deal. He's at Miami, right? Or is it Florida State?
I believe he went to Miami.
Yeah. That guy to me was so impressive for Oregon State in some of their games last year. I actually thought he would be somewhere in the third, fourth round had he come out after last year. But anyway, all right. So Virginia Tech, Hokie fans, and there are a lot of them, as we know, in this area, and many that listen to this program, because I hear from them during college football season, and they're like, you're not talking enough about Virginia Tech. And the reason here in recent years is they haven't been very good, bottom line.
By recent years, you mean the last 15.
Has it been 15 years since Beamer left? No. It's been...
No.
Has it been...
It's been a little less than that, but they really haven't entered the season with real expectations and then proceeded to live up to those since I was in high school, which, as much as I hate to admit it, is now much closer to 15 years than I'm comfortable with.
The Memphis guy, Justin Fuente, I think, who replaced him, right? Mm-hmm. He was the coach at Memphis. Was that it for him in terms of opportunities to be a head coach?
Probably. I mean, they went 8-4 one year, 8-4 in 2019. That was their best year under him. I mean, maybe he goes to, well, I guess there is no Nick Saban island of misfit coaches to turn you back into, or the Nick Saban rehab facility, shall we say. So that might be it for him. Unless he goes, I mean, you can go to a G5 place again, build up a reputation, and then, you know, get a job in a couple years.
Frank Beamer's last year, 2015. And they were 7-6. They were in a bowl game, but they were not ACC contenders. You have to go back to 2011 when they finished first in the Coastal in the ACC.
Jeez, that's a long time.
And made it to the Sugar Bowl. That's a long time being absent from the big picture, from the upper echelons of college football for a program like that, no doubt. All right, there's somebody else you like, though.
I like Nebraska. Really, really like Nebraska. They have the five-star quarterback, Dylan Raiola. He's a freshman, so I know that's a little iffy at times making that jump, but he was going to go to Nebraska, and then he changed his mind and committed to Georgia. This was before Matt Rhule had taken over, so this was years ago. He committed to Georgia. Matt Rhule takes over. He does have an uncle that's on the staff in Nebraska, the Riola family. They won championships at Nebraska in the late 90s. They were part of those teams. They go and get him from Georgia. So he's going to go play at Georgia. They get him to come back to Nebraska, which is basically what you hire Matt Rhule to do, to keep whatever sort of local talent that you have that's good in the state. They do that. And then on top of that, like, I know if you're just an NFL fan, your perspective of Matt Rhule is vastly different than my perspective of Matt Rhule. As a college coach, he is a college coach.
So he's a college coach.
I love Nebraska this year. Their win total 7.5. I'm not thinking they're going to win the Big Ten, but that win total 7.5. They will be in some games that are going to be a little iffy, but I think this is the first year in, similar to Virginia Tech, like 15 years where they will be on the right side of some of those iffy games. The ball is going to bounce their way, and I think they get to at least eight wins.
They turn the ball over. Some of their games last year were so painful. They were an excellent defensive team. Do they have a lot of what they were defensively coming back?
Yeah, a good amount of what they had last year is coming back. And I mean, Jeff Sims, God bless him. He was a turnover.
The Colorado game was just horrible.
Oh,
I mean,
so bad.
They actually were the better team except for him in that game. I know that the game got out of hand score-wise, but it was tight throughout. Remember, that was such a hyped game and a massive play for me. I was on Nebraska plus the short number for everything. And it was painful to watch, but all year long, they were really good on defense. So if you're telling me that they're going to be really good on defense again, and they have the quarterback this year in Raiola, it'd be great to see Lincoln rocking again with an actual contender. Where are they being picked in the Big Ten? It's weird this year, right? Because I'm assuming Oregon and Ohio State, Michigan are at the top.
Oregon, Ohio State, the prohibited favorites. Penn State is 5-1, which, by the way, I don't hate. They just need to make Drew Aller good. Michigan is plus 750. Nebraska is they're a long shot. I mean, they're right now they're 60-1 to win the Big Ten, but everybody's a long shot after Michigan.
I'll tell you what, Penn State better win in Morgantown to open up the season, or they're going to be after James Franklin in a big way. That is a tough spot for them to open up. I can't wait for that. That's the that's week number one, Labor Day weekend, and I think it's the high noon game on Fox.
Yeah, that's one of the better matchups of the week. You got that one, you got Florida-Miami, and then on Sunday you have USC and LSU.
Yeah, they don't play Michigan, I think it is, but they do play Ohio State, but it's at home in Happy Valley. But I think they play both SC and UCLA. Do they play Oregon? I'm pulling up their schedule right now.
I don't know they play Oregon. They do play both LA teams.
Yeah. You don't want to be James Franklin if you go into Morgantown and lose that opener. All right, something Dan Quinn said earlier this morning that I thought was worth playing. You'll hear it when we come back.